Moving on to 93-94, your season didn't really take off until January. Was that due to injury?
I would think that would have been due to injury again.
You played, I think, a couple of games at the beginning of September, and then you went right through to January where you weren't...
Where I wasn't in the action. 93-94. That may have been when... I always suffered with my knees, ankles and back, quite a bit, ligaments and things like that. Now, I did a Bennett's fracture of my thumb, mm-hmm. and my scaphoid as well. So I had to have that pinned. And I'm not sure if that was the injury then that would have then kept me out, you know, for a month or two.
Yeah.
Whilst I then got the strength back and rebuilt that out. So it was September, you know, you'd be thinking October, November, into the December time. So possibly that may well have been that with mm-hmm. other little niggling injuries as well. But over the years, I had damaged my knee once or twice, and 95 was the big cruciate one, but I had, you know, twisted my knee once or twice in games, which before that, you know, so it may well have been a combination of perhaps my thumb and coming back trying to get fit, knocking my knee or something, may have kept me out for as you say, for the early part of the season there.
Yeah, I had wondered if it might have been a work commitment or
no, usually
that kind, you know, training courses or whatever.
Yeah, no, within the police there, everyone says, oh, you're only a PC still, you haven't, and it was one of those things that I manoeuvred my career around area, police area hours and activities. So I was an area, started off as town centre in Cheltenham, then I went out to Hester's Way, a rural area, Hester's Way sort of thing. Where I was an area constable, which meant I started working 24-hour shifts. We did 8 to 4, it was 4 to midnights, and only the occasional nights if you were unlucky, so that I could then manipulate my shifts. I could go and play rugby and come back and work after, or work first and then go and play rugby after the game, and had a little bit more flexibility. So I wasn't on the response car that had to be there 24-7 responding. I was a sort of the follow-up the next day face. Sure. And so as a result, I could control my duties, and then so I was at Hester's Way, then I went up to Tewkesbury, where I was an area man at Prize Park in Tewkesbury, and again, you know, that flexibility with my skippers there, that and you know, a lot of the older statesmen within the job used to love it, because if they were on a late shift, they really wanted to be on a late shift dealing with all the people when they come out the pubs. So it'd be a case of, hey, I'll tell you what, you do my day shift and cover me in the afternoon, and I'll come back at 6 o'clock after I've played rugby, and I'll work your evening shift. Yeah. And so they were happy with that. So it was a case of that I could try and juggle my shifts mm-hmm. around yeah. and fit it in around the rugby sort of thing. Yeah.
Good.
So in fact, the job didn't really take you away from rugby.
So the job, in fact, you know, didn't really take me away. And in fact, you know, they promoted it to a certain extent in that it was all good press for them.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
You know, anytime on occasions there, some little lad might try and run away from me, and I'd give chase and catch him and bring him to book.
With a rugby tackle, of course.
It was one of those things that, as we said earlier on, you know, I wasn't the biggest lad. You know, I was only a slight built lad that could run a little bit, and it would be a case of that I'd let them run, and I'd be running alongside them, say, "Go on, keep going," and they'd be running and running, and then when they're actually tuckered out and they're about to give up and put their hands up, you then cut them a rugby tackle, cut them in half, at which point they give up. You know, they were that tired, nobody wanted to fight then or anything, and I'm thinking, hey, happy days, you know, everyone's a winner here, and we did it on several occasions, and people haven't got to hear about that, we're in the job, it was, yeah, so no, the job, and they always then put a little article in the paper, oh, Gloucester winger tackles someone to the ground, and bring them to the, and made every opportunity to put it in the press as well, for good press. Yeah. So the job, is never really hindered it. It supported it quite well. Yeah.
Good. Oh, that's great. Yeah. So you were talking before about your hat trick against West Hartlepool in the league game, which virtually started off your 1994-95 season.
Yeah.
And you do remember that.
I remember that was empty here. And again, one of the lads I was working with at the time was an avid West Hartlepool fan, and he's from up north and whatever. So he was there in the crowd. Yeah. And then didn't talk to me for all the next week to discuss that performance. But yeah, no, that was a good game. Then we were in the centre for that game, mm-hmm. You know, which is in the position we said at the beginning that we enjoyed more. And again, like it was on Rugby Special as well, that you know, so we could watch it again at a later date. But I remember that when I was out here, and thoroughly enjoyed the game.
And you were back in the centre again.
Yes.
Yeah, with Paul Holford outside.
Outside, was an advert. He could run, and was a very, very talented player, very good player, Paul Holford.
He was talked about in very much the same way that you were. Really, you were right there on the fringe.
Yeah,
you know, very close to.
Yeah, I know he was. Coxie, as we know him, sort of then Paul Holford there, and pound for pound, he's one of the strongest lads we'd ever met. He's a bricky by trade, and so all day he lifts breeze blocks and bricks with his hands, so he had never had an ounce of fat on him. He was lean, just a little muscle machine sort of thing. And we used to do training sessions out there, and you got hurt more in training than you did, because you'd been told to put yourself into positions. You're thinking, I wouldn't do that in a game. I ain't going to run into this big 6'4" bloke, 18 stone holding a bag, and think I'm going to knock him for six. I'm going to bounce off it. In a game, I'd run round him.
That's right.
But to set up the drill for the game, I want you to run into that bag, take the tackle, go to floor. Everyone's going to run over the top of you. And Paul Orford was one that used to love hitting back row forwards and putting them on their backside. He'd come in and off the blind side and dropping his shoulder, and as I said, he was pain for pain, solid meat, and taking great enjoyment out of hitting people and knocking them down and all sorts. Paul was there outside us that season, and that's when Mark Mapletoft, wasn't it? 94-95 would have just joined the club.
Yes, I'm correct.
And I met, so all of a sudden then, as within the club sort of thing, they had a little, Mark was at full back, Paul was on the right, I was on the left, three people that they thought could run back a bit at them, a bit more, for many years we were very much forward orientated, everything revolved around the pack and everything else. All of a sudden there with Paul as well on the road, although we'd had some cracking wings in the past, with Derek Morgan and Nick Price and what have you, Paul was, again, as you say, a very capable and talented chap. And I remember he went on an England A tour, and that was off to Australia. He came back from that, and he said, I didn't like that. They tried to put me on the left wing, on the right, and he sort of defeated himself, saying I can only play on the right. And I said, mate, you can play left, right, wherever they want you to. It was just psychological, and it was a shame because he was very capable. And again, you say he's one. You see him now; he's fit as a fiddle, and hasn't changed. In 20 years,
You played with him in all three divisional games.
Yes.
That season.
So
they were good times.
It was good times again. Yeah. That was it. We're still very good friends with Paul Holford. Still text each other occasionally. Don't catch up as often as you'd like to. We had a good friendship with Paul, he was the bad influence on me. I put it in, after the games we used to have go out and drink after, and he always liked going down to, I think it was the Prince of Wales, that had a bottle of Beck's with a vodka chaser in there, and you're thinking, he had hollow legs, and he used to take great delight in getting me into a muddle. See, if it weren't for all that drinking things, the Gloucester boys could have been a lot better. Just didn't take it serious enough. That was the sad thing. It was
So for those games, whereas you're on your own effectively the previous season, when you played through, this time you had Paul Holford. You also had Dave Sims.
Yes,
playing.
Yeah, Dave Sims, who again, another Gloucester legend there, sort of thing. He played second row, and was there through school rugby with us as well, Dave Sims. Again, was a very strong, mobile second row there. He did have a good time there with the South West as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And Pete Glanville played in the third game.
He was, captain of Gloucester later date and whatever. But Pete Glanville there, was a very solid, grafter in the back row. He was one there that would be at the bottom of the ruck and scuffling and winning the ball, very strong, and strong man going forward as well.